Second transmission.
I think we all know better than that. The actual time, check your clock, is 1930 UTC, the time at which the dubious goals committee always begins. So let us begin. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of this, the dubious goals committee. And the first thing on today's agenda is, that's right, the numbers. So, hey numbers lady, what are the numbers?
The numbers are 196, number 230, number 358, number 589, number 786, number 967. Thank you.
Oh, you are welcome, numbers lady. I appreciate your gratitude. Right, so now what? Now we drink some tea. Oh yeah. Oh, that is tea for me. Oh, there is a deliciousness inherent in this tea. Oh yeah. And I'm enjoying it. All right, so now for the kitty update news. How's my cat doing? What's the latest cat business news? Okay, here we go. Regular listeners to the Dubious Goals Committee will remember that yesterday we let my cat out of the kitty pee prison on a kitty work release program so that the kitty could come in here and do kitty business. Because my cat was getting depressed, and I couldn't have that. So during Dubious Goals Committee yesterday, we had the cat out here, and oh, we were doing kitty business, and we're doing adventure kitty business stuff and other related activities. And for the rest of the day, and even the rest of the night, I left the cat in this room. I always had her in this room with me, so I could monitor her and make sure that she was using the kitty litter box and not, you know, guitars or the floor or anything else that we don't need to have lots of kitty pee on. So the cat was behaving well all last night. And then what time was that? When was that? That was somewhere, it was after midnight, somewhere around 1 a.m. She went into the bathroom, used her kitty box, and everything seems back to normal. Then she came out here, and she started yowping at the door, meow, 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 making wacky kitty noises. So I thought, okay, maybe we can let the kitty out on parole. And so I opened the door, and I let her run around freely in the house. And I was kind of nervous, but she was behaving properly, so. And the other good news is about, what was it, maybe 2 hours later, somewhere around 3:30, she came back down here and used the box. And so, yay, that means she didn't decide to stay upstairs and use the floor or something. No, she said, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. I'll walk all the way downstairs and use the kitty box. So, pretty sure my cat is on the mend here. I did talk to the vet yesterday, and the vet said, blah, 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 probably have to change food. You're going to have to get this special food. It's hydrolyzed soy protein, which I find to be hilariously ironic because I literally have pounds of it in my kitchen. But no, I got to get this special kitty cat food. And he also said, keep the cat on the meds for another couple of days, blah, 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 blah. So I got to give the kitty some more medicine here in a little bit. But anyway, so the doctor says, okay, I'll have our nutritionist call you with this food information. So I said, okay. A few minutes later, somebody else from the vet's office calls me up and says, hi, I'm so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. The food is called this. You want super expensive brand name? It's from France. No, she said, she told me that the bag of food costs $61. And I thought, oh, okay, yeah, this must be a 100-pound bag. It must be, you know, a 40-kilogram bag of food for it to be, you know, $61. I normally buy cat food in huge bags, okay? Buy in bulk, it's cheaper. No, no, no. This $61 cat food weighs 7.7 pounds. Yeah, $61 for 7.7 pounds of cat food. And I'm shocked. And I said to the girl, that's 3.5 kilograms. That's 3.5. What? And then she goes on this weird... She's more surprised that I'm saying the word kilograms instead of my shock about the price. And so she apparently does some math in her head or something and says, oh yeah, that's 3.5 kilograms because this is from France. And in France, they use the metric system. I was like, really? You're telling me that they use the metric system in France? That isn't anything that I need to know. One, I already know it. Two, they use the metric system everywhere except the United States and two other places that we don't need to talk about. Two very small and insignificant places. And she's not quite understanding the whole $61 thing. No, she's focusing on 3.5, not 61. Holy crap. So I said, so presumably I can go buy this in the pet store where I buy all my other cat food. She says, no. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is where you say, yeah, you got to buy it from us. Okay, right? Yeah, and I know how this scam goes. But no, they don't actually have it at the vet. I have to go to a different vet. So they tell me, yeah, you know, you need to go to this other vet, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. It's not very far away. It's just down the street from the OPPD Arboretum, which we'll get to in a minute. And I thought that was weird. Blah, blah, blah. And then she says, and they only have one bag left. And I'm like, my God, are they really trying to scam me? Don't I know all of these high-pressure sales techniques? There's only one left. And nobody's got it. It's so rare. Blah, blah, blah. She says, do you want me to call them and have them reserve the bag for you? I say, yeah, yeah. Call them up. Reserve the bag. I'll go get it in a little bit. So when I had some free time, about 45 minutes later or so, I drove to the other vet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Drove straight there. Found it right away. And I walked in, and of course they have bizarre hours. They've got all these bizarre hours, like, oh, we're open from 8:45 until 3:45, except we're closed for lunch, and at this time on these days, we close an hour early to do this, that, and I'm just, what in the hell? How do you people do business at all? But I got lucky. I just happened to randomly show up there when the doors open. So I walk in. There's a woman behind the counter. She says, can I help you? I point at the bag of cat food that's sitting behind her and said, hello, my name is Tobe. I'm here to purchase a bag of cat food, specifically that bag of cat food. And she says, oh, this is for Pippa. And I said, yes, this is for Pippa. No, 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 no. So then I grabbed the food and I went home, except I didn't go home. Two things you need to know. As I was driving to pick up this cat food, I had to drive by the OPPD Arboretum. Regular listeners to the Dubious Goals Committee are familiar with this place. We spend a lot of time there looking for all kinds of things, including but not limited to marmots, mushrooms, and turkeys and deer and all of our usual friends. And I was driving by and I noticed, oh, there's a piece of heavy equipment. Oh, there's a large backhoe parked in a strange place. Oh, look, they've created a little construction drive path. Something's being built at OPPD. And I don't think it's actually something being built because there's nothing to build there. There's no reason to build anything there and blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't see because this is all on a hill and, you know, the arboretum is sort of down and the lay of the land, there's some geography involved. There's some topology of the land involved here, and I couldn't tell what was going on, and I'm thinking I want to go back and see what's up. I doubt they're building anything. I have a feeling they're just digging more drainage stuff. I'm not sure, because I can't figure out in my mind here. I cannot picture what they would be doing. Are they extending the drainage ditch? Are they going to put in culvert? I don't know, but this looks like a fairly long-term project because they had to build a little road that goes out from the parking lot up into this area, an area that has marmot dens. So did they just, you know, displace some marmots? They may have. I haven't checked. Like I said, I haven't actually gone there to scope it out. But yeah, that's what happens. The march of progress. Humanity. Impeding marmot sanctuaries since 19... always. Don't hassle the marmots, people. And anyway, I didn't swing in there to take a look because I had to go pick up the cat food. So I go and I pick up the cat food. As I'm leaving, I'm trying to decide which way I want to go home. Do I want to go over to Fort Street? Fort Street. Do I want to go up Maple? What do I feel like doing? So I thought, oh, wait, I know. Let's go to Smedge's, since it's pretty much right across the street. So the thing that really decided this for me was I was heading towards the intersection, and this is one of those six-lane divided both directions intersections. It's a monster, right? And by the time you get to the... And it's a dual turn lane, right? So it's just this massive... I was thinking I was just going to drive up Blondo Street and go by the OPPD. But no, the first light to change was the left turn arrow. One of the left turn lanes was completely open, so I just went zwip, and I took the left turn, and then I took the first right turn, which put me into this little strip mall sort of complex blah, 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 where Smedge's is, along with a couple of other things. Good tea. So I pull around to the back and I pull into Smedge's. Smedge's is a small candy store. We've talked about it here on the Dubious Goals Committee a number of times. It's a very small candy store. It's about half a bay. And what this guy specializes in is retro nostalgia candy. So all that weird candy from like the 50s and 60s that some of it lasted up into the 70s but was mostly gone by the time the 80s rolled around. And you can get weird stuff in there like, Slow Pokes and Mad Cows or whatever those are called. I saw Fruit Stripe gum recently. What else? All that weird kind of stuff. All that weird independent candy. You know, the candy that isn't made by Hershey, Willy Wonka, or Terrera Pan. Although they have Terrera Pan candies there. Because Terrera Pan is kind of independent in a weird way. But they got all kinds of cool stuff there. So I thought I'd go in. I just spent $61.01 on a 3.5 kilo bag of cat food. I need to make myself feel better. I need to spend $3.01 on candy. Everything I bought yesterday was so many dollars and 1 cent. It was weird. So I go into the store. The store guy says, "Can I help you find anything?" I said, "Yes, I need this. Because these are the people I hate. I mean, obviously, the guy owns a store that is the type of store that is meant for browsing around in. I mean, it's got so much stuff, you don't know what's in there. You don't know what they could possibly have until you go in and look around. But as soon as the door opens, this guy's giving you a dirty look and shouting, how can I help you? Or what are you looking for today? You know, and you're not expected to say, I'm just looking around. So when this happens to me, and it happens often, I usually just start spouting off a list of things that they may or may not have. Usually I try to go for something that I know they're not going to have, and I spout this list off as fast as possible. And then when they can't keep up, I look at them and go, come on, aren't you going to help me? You asked if you could help me. Come on. Don't you want to help me? So the guy does this, and I crank off standard list of all my favorite candies, including mango high chews, kiwi high chews. I'm trying to think of my inventory at home and what all I need. And I blah, 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 blah. He's like, okay. Then I said, and a bag of white rabbits, because I need to get a bag of white rabbits for my doctor. He's like, oh, don't have those. So I know I list off a few more things that I know he doesn't have, because this guy is not the right ethnicity. And I'm like, oh, geez, well, where am I going to get that? Oh, I guess I'll have to get him from the regular place. Because I'm doing this guy a favor, giving him my $3 worth of business. How does this guy stay in business? How does this guy... You got to understand, this little candy store is in a triple deep strip mall. And it's in the furthest behind the place that you're not going to find unless you know it's there. Okay, you got... mind-boggling. How does this guy stay in business? There wasn't anybody else in the store when I got there. There wasn't anybody in the store when I left. You know, this guy has what? This is not a foot traffic area. This is not a tourist part of town. This is not where people are just going to come park and walk around to see what's going on. Besides, this is in the back of it. It makes no sense. How does this guy stay in business? I don't know. What is it a front for? I don't know. I can speculate. So the guy actually had mango high chews in the 10 pack or whatever it is. So I grabbed one of those and something else that was nearby. And he said, what was the other flavor you were looking for? Kiwi? And I said, yeah, kiwi. And he starts digging through a little container, one of those big fake jars, those plastic jars that, oh, look, these are big glass jars from the olden days, from candy shops and apothecaries. You know the fake ones I'm thinking about. Guy's digging through there, and he says, oh, I've got grapefruit. He names off all these other flavors. He's all these loose wrapped candies, high chews, that he's got in this thing. And I said, wait, did you say grapefruit? And he said, yes. Yeah, give me all those. And so I made him spend 5 minutes handpicking the 5 or 6 grapefruit high chews out of this container with about 200 in it. Oh my god. Dude, don't try to out-jerk me. you want to have a contest to see who can be the biggest jerk? I'm going to win, homie. So I yanked the guy around on a couple of other things. Because, you know, he thought he's the candy master. He thought he was the... It's like, oh, I am familiar with candy. I have a PhD in candy. You know, homie, you ain't even close. You have a PhD in the candy of your religious white people from America who grew up in the 50s and 60s. That's your base knowledge. You don't know jack about candy. And I still need to get some white rabbits for my doctor. But anyway, as I was getting ready to check out and leave Smedges, I was walking by this one shelf, and right at eye level, I saw something new that I hadn't seen before. And I didn't know what to do. I was walking by a Lindt display. Lindt, the Swiss chocolate company. Maybe you know Lindt as Lindor. Whatever you know it as in your country. Lindt is a chocolatier, and they make these one particular bonbons that are just, I can't remember what they call them. I see the commercials every once in a while. You know, they're round. They're about 20 millimeters in diameter. They're chocolate, and they got chocolate stuff on the inside, and they're usually pretty good. For a commercial candy, especially for a commercial chocolatier, they kind of do okay. They actually sort of make some pretty good stuff. But what caught my eye was two new flavors. And I have one of the wrappers right here. Two new flavors. Dulce de leche. Oh, and I didn't know they were new. This is just the first time I ever saw them. And matcha. And I said that out loud. I said, whoa. Whoa. I said, matcha. And I, Dulce de leche. And the guy says, yeah, those are new. Those just came in. So I grabbed two of both. There was some other new flavor that didn't interest me whatsoever. But then I came home and I think I ate lunch. Yeah, so I grabbed two of each of those, got out of Smedges for $3.01. Drove home, ate lunch, rice and stuff, and then I sat down with a hot cup of tea, and I got into that dulce de leche business, and it was good. If you like Lindt chocolate, and if you like their little truffle balls, or whatever they call those bonbons of theirs, if you like dulce de leche, I thought this was pretty good. Not too intense, not too sweet, but still kind of sweet, and pretty good, nice and caramely. Not bad. Not bad for being made in a giant factory. You know, and that's what it all comes down to. When it comes down to giant chocolate manufacturers, cheap ingredients and automated processes, and sometimes not the best flavors. But no, the dulce de leche was actually pretty good. Have I had better? Well, yeah. And personally, if you want a good, surprising dulce de leche candy, you want to get coffee nips. Coffee nips come in four flavors, one of which is dulce de leche. I highly recommend it. Last night, at about 2 a.m. or so, 2:30, when was that? Yeah, it was about 2:45, actually. I decided to get into the matcha. If you're not familiar with matcha, or that word matcha, what that means is tea. Matcha is a certain style of Japanese green tea. And it's one of the important ones in Japan. It's one of the biggies, if not the biggie. Matcha. And it's kind of been a fad these days to make tea-flavored stuff, so I wasn't surprised to see this. I was just sort of happy, so I grabbed a couple. I had one last night. And last night, at 2:45, I thought it was pretty good. I thought, oh yeah, this is pretty good. And then I started realizing, wait, where's the matcha? Can you taste the matcha flavor? Ooh, I don't know, kind of, yes, no, maybe, a little bit, sort of. The thing of it is, the Japanese have been flavoring their confectionery with tea, especially matcha, for I don't know how long, at least 1,000 years. You can get matcha mochi, you can get matcha choco, you can get matcha everything. In Japan, you can get matcha Kit Kat. You know, give me a break, give me a break, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar that we only have one flavor of in America because we're dull, we're tasteless, we're fools. Yeah, in Japan, there's about 50 or 60 different flavors of Kit Kat. I love the Japanese so much. And one of those flavors is matcha. You can get all kinds of matcha candy, matcha cookies. Oh my God, one of my favorite cookies in the... What are those called? I haven't had any forever. Now I'm dying for them. In Japan, they have this little cookie. I can't remember what it's called. It's flat. It's like a pancake, sort of, except hard and crunchy. And they're rolled. But they're not rolled up like a Russian cigarette cookie or a pirouette or what are those Pepperidge Farm ones called? It doesn't matter. It's sort of like a puzzle or a waffle, these Japanese cookies that are round, and then when they're hot, they put them on a round form so that they droop and are sort of curled up so that when they cool off and harden, they're curled. But they sprinkle these with matcha. And these are one of my favorite things in the world to eat. And are they almond cookies? They might be almond cookies. Imagine a fortune cookie. Surely you've eaten fortune cookies before. But without that papery taste. That's a joke. Yeah, so imagine making fortune cookies. And somewhere I do have a fortune cookie recipe. I know how to make fortune cookies. Where is the recipe? Oh, I know where the recipe is. It's in that one book that's in a box somewhere. Kind of want to make these now. That's what I'm thinking about. Or maybe I should just make some pancakes and put some matcha in them. I could go out to the Japanese store, get some matcha, come back. I'd have to stop at the other store, too, and get some pancake mix. Suddenly, I want matcha pancakes. And this would actually be very good. Too bad Snowdusk isn't listening. Maybe Dokuja is listening. I don't know. Or who else do I know that's close to Japan? Oh, Solderpunk. Solderpunk's somewhere in Australia. Or wait, is he in New Zealand? No, he's in Australia, right? I don't know where, though. Who knows? But he's close to Japan. Maybe he's had matcha pancakes. Maybe he's had matcha flavored stuff. Once you get close enough to Japan, some of that stuff spreads out. So maybe I just need to go get some matcha. Go to the store, get some pancake mix. Then I could come home, make my famous Tobe pancakes. I don't know who thinks they're famous other than me. But I do have... I use an off-the-shelf pancake mix that can be found in any store. It comes in a big yellow box, and the brand name is in blue. But I will not mention it because they're not giving me free pancake stuff. And anyway, I figured out a way to sort of boost that stuff to make some pretty amazing pancakes. a couple of great techniques. So I'm thinking now, maybe I need to go get some of that. Because for the last few days, for the last week, for the last 2 weeks, I've been thinking about pancakes. And there was a time about, when was that? It was before I moved into my house. So that's about 15 years ago. I went on this thing where I was eating pancakes every morning. I was freaking out. I had to have pancakes. I would make not very much batter. You know, I'd only mix up like a cup's worth of batter and I would eat 4 or 5 pancakes for breakfast every single day. I need to get back into that. How did I get so lazy that I'm not making decent breakfast anymore? Oh, it's because I have to do this radio show, and so I can't experiment with delicious breakfast foods like matcha-flavored pancakes, which I really want to do now that I'm thinking about this. God, I bet those would be great. Matcha pancakes. You heard it here first on the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, and I bet you're kind of surprised that we managed to go through an entire episode without any 90210.
Oh, Dad, there's one here from Mrs. Coatsley, so you talk to her?
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.